right, everybody, it's time for a brand new episode of Plan Bitter!
What?
As always, traveling through an infinite dimension to find out who the Illuminati sent to go do things, and then I find them and don't really like question much about what they were doing.
Richard.
Richard.
Over there, taking on the mantle of Captain America, but apparently not doing a whole lot with it, which kind of reflects the level of interest he has in the story. It's Jason.
I just grabbed my life.
You've only got 10 minutes to explain it to me.
Don't you remember this one mission and how relevant it was to that one thing you did that once upon a time that's like totally like important now because we're setting this up for the end of the book? It's Michael. And over there, he doesn't need luck. He's got nuts. It's Chris. That was Squirrel Girl's last line in her original appearance.
Yeah.
I don't need luck. I've got nuts.
I love when Doorman is freaking out because Squirrel Girl's got a nutsack.
Hey, Flat Man. Or hey, Flatso. Squirrel Girl's got nutsacks.
That's fantastic.
Like, I'm a class 10 teleporting mutant that can get anyone anywhere, provided that they need to get to the next room.
Yep.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, say be sure to let me know about it, and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Plan Banter. Be sure to check it out.
I really think this is going to read a lot better in trade whenever line it up the way that it needs to be. But it's so hard to tell.
I mean, maybe.
Because Avengers and New Avengers now are crossing over so much. And it's hard.
Well, I mean, you have to read
them in
that
same book.
Yeah, they're the same book now. And it's hard to tell when to switch over, because I think there were like two Avengers stories that went back to back, and then it went over to New Avengers because the previous New Avengers story was kind of a standalone, and then it went back to Avengers, and then it went back to New Avengers, and then, you know, all that stuff. So I think it will make more sense once it's collected in trade.
Well, the first volume of Time Runs Out is already out.
Yeah.
And I think it has like 5 issues in it.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and a whole lot of it is like stuff I just don't care about.
Yeah.
Like, you read that issue where, like, Thor and everyone is going through that portal or whatever to the future or the end of the universe, and you're like, oh, man, that's going to be really cool when they go get where they're going and they come back. And then they have the issue where they show where they went, and they just meet Doctor Strange and hang out with the weird faceless cult dudes that have no eyes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, cool. This is probably not going to appear again for another 6 issues, so
yeah,
I guess I care. Like, there were some good payoffs. I just, boy, like the weirdest, like, guys, like, the first issue of New Avengers is like, worlds are dying. We have to do something about that. Issue 38 of New Avengers is out. It has been 3 years worth of issues of them handling this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to fucking end.
Yeah. Well,
it was very, very compelling. They have dragged it out to the absolute maximum degree that I am willing to apply interest.
Yes. Like, actually, I think I am not willing to apply interest anymore.
Well, I'm willing to apply interest. It still get me. I'm not saying that it's.
There's a couple of things that happened in these books that I was super interested in and I thought was really good.
Yeah. We'll talk about this?
Yeah, go ahead, Jace.
Well, I thought that the wrap-up for Namor and
Black Panther
was
that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that
was
great.
Okay. It was,
let's talk about that.
It was a great setup and a great payoff.
The whole thing interspersed.
4 years.
Right, yeah.
Flashing,
but it worked out.
Flashing back to T'Chaka giving T'Challa the Sword of Kings. Then T'Challa giving Shuri the Sword of Kings. Suri giving it back to him.
Is she dead?
I don't know.
I got the impression she was.
Die
I got the impression she was dead.
Which is so good, because like, that was never a great idea.
Well, no, it wasn't. And then him stabbing
Richard.
Him stabbing Namor,
what?
And then Black Bolt saying, get off my boat.
Yeah, what? Does Black Bolt hate Namor for some reason that I don't know about?
He said, when you see my brother, tell him hi or something.
I think Namor.
That's what he said. I blew it up to see what he said. When you see my brother
because,
in hell,
well,
tell
you
hi.
You know the whole, yeah, because what Maximus has been like crazy, and he thinks he knows the future of what's going on. And Black, you know, he's been sneaking around Black Bolt's back behind Black Bolt's back, and Black Bolt's known about it the entire time.
What's his name again?
What? Black Bolt?
Okay.
Well, there's a thing in Inhumanity where they showed that, like, Maximus was controlling Black Bolt somehow and then implied that Black Bolt died, but this is also in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course Black Bolt's not dead, because who's going to star in the Inhumans movie?
But I love the fact that Black Panther's like, you're probably asking why I'm not doing it right now. It's because I want him to know. And that was awesome. I mean, that was...
Is Black Bolt owned by Marvel?
Yes.
He might be in the Fantastic
Four.
No.
Black Bolt is owned by Marvel. They
own the Inhumans and they own Black Bolt.
They own the name Inhumans. I don't know if they...
They own Black Bolt, Crystal.
Characters.
They own Black Bolt, Crystal, Medusa, Lockjaw,
they
Maximus,
own, they
all
own the Inhumans royal family.
Namor
is a mutant, but he's owned by Universal.
Universal.
I heard that Fox owned a Black Bolt and still...
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
What did you hear, Josh?
If they didn't own the Silver Surfer and had to pay for him separately, they surely didn't own Black Bolt.
And it sounds like Fox isn't going to be owning.
They didn't pay for him separately, but they did lose the license for him. It came in the package, but the package was multiple characters in one package.
Side note: apparently, Josh Trank's Fantastic Four.
Oh, it's not a side note.
Is running into a couple of walls.
They just set up for a month of reshoots in New Orleans, and are already spending millions more dollars rebuilding sets that they had already torn down.
You mean that he had trashed?
Whatever.
I mean, whatever. I kind of hope this buries him, because I didn't think Chronicle was
I kind of hope this kind of...
It's funny how everyone at Fox, the only thing is that we're behind Josh Trank's vision of the film. That's the only thing they ever say about this movie.
We have to be, otherwise we're fucked.
Yeah, it's like, yes.
Otherwise, Marvel is going to buy this back from us.
They keep saying it like we're behind his vision. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
That's a bad fucking sign.
What, you're not excited for Viktor Domachev?
Oh, man.
Wrathful blogger.
Okay, I don't want to talk about that, because that's just going to make me mad.
So about these books.
Yeah, about these books.
The Black Bolt thing with Namor. So you guys think Namor is dead? I mean, he was on a planet that blew up.
No, you didn't see it.
No, so the Cabal's on a planet. I mean, it's on a dead mapmaker planet.
Yeah, which, what the fuck does that even mean?
What the fuck is a mapmaker thing again? Please,
they're another one
of
the alien races that are virtually indistinguishable, because they're all just weird, lumpy things with cybernetic parts. And red glowing eyes.
Mapmakers are the...
Who are the builders?
Are they the pure robots, or are they
the robots.
They the
they're the ones that the not the Amazo, the...
Can they just call
Super
it...
Adaptoid?
Can...
The new Super Adaptoid, you remember whenever that showed up about 8 months ago?
Just one thing I hate about him is like his simple...
And he goes and joins up with those robots. Those are the mapmakers.
Okay. Well, it's like how they call that fucking thing that looks like the Fury pod, and it's apparently like... And I'm like, guys, no, that's the Fury. It looks like the Fury. I'm pretty sure they called it the Fury. Mm. Why is it called pod?
My idea...
Why is that name so stupid?
On Jonathan Hickman a lot is, like, he thinks that there's brilliance and simplicity, and so he tries to make things that are super... as he believes to be super above the plane of thought and existence. If you make them super simple... Then they're
just give them like
automatically
a simple name.
Way more interesting and intelligent than they would appear to be if you call them like Corellians or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why all of these alien races have names that sound like English concepts.
Like the map makers. It just sounds so stupid.
The builders.
It just sounds like
ex
nihilo.
Why
cares?
Is ex nihilo called ex nihilo? Why would he be called something in Latin? I don't understand. Like, Galactus is Galactus.
Latin's not really Latin. Latin is the language of the Eternals.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I just made that up, but you kind of believed it, didn't you?
Dude, I could believe it. It's the fucking secret language of the deviants or whatever the fuck. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, trust me, there's, like, so much, like...
You know, that would actually make sense because based off of their names, Greek would almost be the language of the Eternals, and then Latin could be the language of the deviants because, you know, like, there's Icarus and... All those motherfuckers is the Eternals.
All those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But
there's a lot going on in these books, and yet simultaneously there's like nothing going on in them at the same time. Like, I forgot Molecule Man showed up. Like, I remember that dinner that Namor
Waterman
and Dr. Doom had. Yes. Where he's like, Doom is nobody's second choice. I don't remember him showing Christoph that he had the Molecule Man imprisoned. Like, I don't remember. I went back and read that issue, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Mad Thinker's here, too. Yeah.
Mad Thinker was there.
And
then they teleport off, and that's, like, the only viable connection to, like, Secret War, like, the title.
Mm-hmm.
David opened issue 40, and he was looking through it or whatever. He said the one with Thanos on the cover. He's like, what the hell does this have to do with Secret Wars? And I'm like... Nothing yet. I think they're just putting that so they know that people will start buying it.
If Jonathan Hickman named the Mad Thinker, he'd be called Thought.
No, The Thought.
Just Thought. Not even The. It's Thought. The Thought would imply that you have to understand it has to be like on a different plane of existence. Yeah, means it's the one. It is that person. He's just everything. Fix everything.
Anyway, I enjoyed... I really, really, really enjoy Sunspot and Cannonball in these books.
Oh, because they actually comment on how nothing makes any fucking sense.
Yeah. And the fact
it's so bizarre. It really is bizarre.
And the fact,
why are we fighting? Why does any of this matter?
And the fact that we both liked you better as a cat.
We like consensus, we think you look cooler as a cat.
That was great.
I liked that. I mean,
they spent 20 years. I mean, the people spent 10 years bitching about how he was a cat. They turned him into a cat. Now they're going to bitch about how they're pissed off that he's not a cat anymore.
Well, I like the cat beast.
I just fucking hate
everything.
I always liked cat beast. I said from the day I saw him, I thought he was cool looking.
Yeah.
Not everyone drew him
Very true. But, man, Frank Wiley could draw cat beast perfectly.
I thought he looked great. I mean, that just looked great.
Anyway, I still love the fact that Sunspot owns AIM now.
That's a cool idea.
And I finally love that the hammer dropped that Sue and Reed were working together because they got captured in the cubes.
Yeah, we're like inexplicably, like, despite being aged to like 900 years old, like Steve Rogers talks like a 12-year-old because he says Ghana and y'all and you best. And I'm like, what the fuck did he forget?
You got 10 minutes to tell me things.
Yeah, you got. Like, yeah. I'm like, guys, no. Like, he knows how to speak. he doesn't speak that informally.
Jonathan Hickman's idea of America.
He's fucking attaché to the goddamn president of the United States.
Well, I just think that shows that his idea is America is America, the internet's idea of America, and blah, blah, blah.
I don't think it's... I think it's a vestigial imprint of something that Remender's doing.
I don't know, man.
Like the entire concept of old guy cap, which makes
even
zero
then,
sense.
Even then, that makes sense that's what Remender would believe it to be.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
But
I don't know what the hell old guy Cap is going to do teleporting down there where they're like Hulks fighting and shit. And I'm like, shouldn't you be worrying about breaking your hip? Because, I mean, to what degree am I supposed to buy that he's like ancient?
It is Jonathan Hickman's idea to make Captain America the kind of dumb odd man out, the everyman character. His from the beginning of New Avengers was like they kick him out because he's too dumb. That's the idea behind it. He's too stupid. Right. He can't be here.
I thought they kicked him out because he was the only one with a moral center.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's because he's too dumb or stupid. I think it's a moral center.
I just said that. That's what their belief is. Right? I mean, I'm just saying, like...
I mean, yes, there is a precedent for, like, a billion Marvel stories where, like, the smartest guy in the room is always complete fucking evil.
Yeah.
Or has secretly been evil all along, like... A ton of stories with Reed Richards, a ton of stories with Professor
Xavier. But it's
Xavier.
Like they do the same thing with Superman. A lot of writers write Superman to be an idiot and he and Cap are not. They're both super highly intelligent people with a lot of ideas and problem solving abilities, far beyond what normal humans would even any other superhero would be able to confirm. So,
well, we have no time for these characters' interiority in this story, with the exception of Reed Richards.
You're right.
And Reed says, like, well, Cap managed to outplan me. And you're like, yeah, awesome, because Cap's a genius tactician. I'm glad someone remembered that.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, we don't know, like, if he's just adopting that because he thinks that he needs to act that way. It's like, I don't know, sound like General MacArthur or some shit to get people to follow him or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of weird inconsistency in this story, like, where Mike Deodato drew, like, Hawkeye with what looked like a metal arm, and then he doesn't have it, like, in the issue drawn by Stefano Caselli. Like, I don't know what was up with that. I don't know if it was just, like, a coloring error or what.
It could have been a coloring error. Or it could have been a armor sheath or something like that.
Yeah, it could have been a glove. I don't know.
Can someone explain to me about Spider-Woman and Black Widow showing up to Tony and then leaving?
Well, because Tony wouldn't listen to them.
I feel like I glazed over about what the fuck.
Well, because...
Yeah, I don't know why he was captured in the first place.
Now, they didn't show us how he was captured. They just showed him fighting something in, like, a suit of armor that blew up, and that's how the Cabal got him.
Yeah, that's how the Cabal got
him. Yeah, so...
It's one of the unexplained things that just happened because of whatever. And I'm assuming at some point they're going to show that.
Do they show up to get him or just to talk to him?
They show him to get him.
Okay. But they decide not to.
And then
he's like, you guys are, of course you're going to let me go because I'm right and I'm right about everything and the rest of the world is going to see this and they're going to understand. And they're like, yeah, you're crazy. We're out of here.
Okay. All right.
Like, you're not ready to listen to reason, and you're not ready for what we're trying to do, because they were working with Sunspot and Cannonball and whoever
the fuck. Yeah, exactly, because they showed up
to cause
a detente. They showed up in a Avengers world that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they were there to, like, you know, at least get a ceasefire, which Tony was obviously not ready for that, because he's obviously zero compromises. Mm-hmm. So that's why they left him. That was not super well explained.
Yeah, because I read this, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and when I was reading these new ones, I was like, what happened with that again?
I just forgot. I can't imagine reading this month to month.
Yeah, yeah. I
really can't.
And I do have a hard
time. Nothing seems to
happen. Like I said, I have a hard time reading it. I wish, like, that they would do something in the app to where it would move on to the next part of the story as opposed to the next issue.
They usually do that once the trades are out.
Sometimes, okay. But just I wish they would do that too, Michael. I agree with you.
They would do it on the month-to-month basis.
Yeah,
though,
I do. I just think it would be very helpful. Like,
then Marvel's editors people would have to be able to do that to themselves and not hand it over to the trade publications editors.
Yeah. So
to make sense,
that's
of
a
it.
Lot of whispering.
It is.
You know,
maybe I'll send a Tumblr ask to Tom Brevoort. Yeah,
he'll just yell at you. He'll
give you some really
weirdly
passive
aggressive thing. That sounds like a perfect idea, Michael.
Do it. I'll do it.
Can I please have an official reading order for this story? But, like, I mean, there's things that happen. Like, I don't know who the Validator guy is. I don't know when he showed up. I don't know what he does. I don't know why he's there. Apparently, he came from one of the different sites on Earth that Pod and the Zebra Kids came from. Because there were four sites. One was in the Savage Land.
Mm-hmm.
One was where Starbrand came from, right? Maybe? I don't fucking know.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe he...
One was the City of the Dead.
Yeah, the one in Japan is where Pod comes from, even though it was a Finnish girl or something. Like, God, I fucking hate saying that. Pod is so stupid. Can't you just call it the Fury? Because that's what it is. It's the Fury. It looks like the Fury. It acts like the Fury. It's the Fury.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Like, I don't know if they lost rights to that because it's some weird Marvel UK thing, or if they're trying to get Alan Moore to come back and write for them, which good luck with that. Like, what the fuck? And what does it even... Like, it's been so long since that thing appeared, I don't even remember what it did.
The Fury?
Well, no, Pod.
Oh, Pod.
I know what the Fury does, because, like, Fury shows up, shit gets real. Like, the only person dumb enough to throw the Fury out like a thing it didn't matter was Warren Ellis and Ghost Box. You know? Astonishing Story that came after Whedon.
After Whedon left, yeah.
We had the Fury Army, because, wow! But, yeah, like, I don't know. It's such a weird bipolar. I'm enjoying this, and I just am not enjoying this at all.
That's pretty much how it is. Luckily, the last issue I read, well, the last two issues I read, what's the last one? I guess this was the last two then, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was the story with the interlocking covers, which, thank God, because it told you what order to read it in, and handily had Roman numerals to tell you which part was which, because the first part was in Avengers and the second part was in New Avengers, and there's other issue of Avengers that lies on the cover and has Thanos beating up everybody.
Yeah, all right. I don't think it's in order, but I think the last issue I read was the Black Panther Namor thing.
That's the last issue.
That's the last
the most
issue.
Recent one. It is from this week.
Good. But that was in regular Avengers.
Yes.
Correct.
And a Starry Sword in New Avengers.
Yep. Like, I mean, like, no lie, you've got to read both.
Jesus.
Like, in order to make any sense of this, because, like, the issue where you see what happened to Thor and then from Avengers shows up in New Avengers. I was like, why is this even in New Avengers? Like, shouldn't it be an Avenger since it's part of Thor's story and he's an Avenger?
Yes.
I mean, like, I sent, like, a picture of the cast list to David, and I was like, I truly pity anybody who's a new reader coming into this book.
Yeah, how was that, Chris? You complained about that when we did Infinity.
Like, dear God, there's, like, 70
characters. How was that for you?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit better now that I've just been, you know, reading it for this consistent amount of time since Avengers has started back, but, I mean, there's still some... Sometimes I get a little confused.
Yeah. And there's some stuff that I thought was outright stupid. I fucking hate the Army of Shang-Chi. I think it's moronic.
The Army of what?
I think...
The 200 bajillion Shang-Chi.
I like a giant Shang-Chi. I don't like a million of them.
Well, yeah. It's weird. It's like, well, we just realized we put this Kung Fu guy on the team with people who can, like, shoot laser beams and shit.
So, whoops.
What do we do with them? And I'm like, well, that doesn't seem to bother you with Luke Cage very much.
That's pretty much what they did with... Every time in Legion stories, they were like, well, we got to kill Karate Kid because he sucks. I'm like, no.
I mean, I don't know. Like, the Mighty Avengers show up, and they don't even have any word bubbles, I don't think, except maybe Luke Cage yells something, and that's it. Like, sweet Christmas. I don't know what the fuck. Like, Spider-Man shows up in this comic, and he does not say anything.
I did like when he said sweet Christmas in the Great Lakes Avengers thing.
Oh, we'll get into that here in a minute. Yeah.
Like, the Blue Marvel's on that team, and that's like a Superman analog. He's way mega powerful.
One of the eight.
Yeah, like one of the 55 in the Marvel Universe. I'm glad that this whole thing with the Illuminati on the run or whatever is over. At the same time, at this point, I don't even remember what crimes it is that Cap is accusing them of doing other than blowing up the other worlds. And if you put him in front of, like, a jury...
Wiping his mind, right?
Well, yeah, which I guess they could get after them for that. At the same time, if you put him in front of a jury to be convicted or whatever in, like, you know, like, I don't know, Massachusetts, like, they're not going to convict them because what evidence is there that they blew up a world because it's gone?
Well, and plus Massachusetts is just a state full of world blower up. Yeah. That's where Mitt Romney's from, right?
Like,
come on.
Yeah, I mean, I have... I don't know. So I guess, yeah, they would get in trouble for wiping Cap's mind, but at the same time, like, good Lord, what's going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. then?
Well...
Yeah, Reverie.
Well, yeah, that's exactly. That's kind of a thing in Black Widow we'll discuss later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... It's impossible to recommend this book to people. It is so utterly strange and alienating.
There's some great things, and there's some not good things.
And you know, everyone's like, well, you can't really judge it until you've read it as, like, a whole work. And I'm like, guys, it's 80 fucking issues!
We can judge it as all we want. I mean, we really can.
Like, it's no small piece of pie at this point. Like, this
lot.
Is nearly 100 issues of story. It will be when Secret Wars starts. Or when Secret Wars ends, it will... probably be near 150, because isn't that going to last a whole year?
Yep.
Oh my God.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting.
I can't do it. I'm so tired from it.
Like, it's cool that Cap managed to outplan Reed in some respect, but at the same time, like,
it
man,
kind of feels like
why did
like
they need to go get Smasher and Cannonball? Because what ultimately did Smasher and Cannonball do? Like, Smasher doesn't even appear in any scenes that aren't on, like, the giant AIM helicarrier thing.
Well, Cannonball seems like a he seems like a Sunspot's manservant. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he kind of does. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, all Sunspot. Well, they built that new, like, world catcher thing.
That's true. They did with the Zebra Kids or whatever, which is kind of a dumb name.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
it's like, we tested it in the negative zone on a couple of moons. It should be okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's no moon.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, let's talk about Black Widow.
Okay.
Okay. First thing about this book, because I actually went back and reread it from issue one.
Oh, yeah? It probably didn't take very long. It's like 45 minutes.
This book...
It's like four words in every book.
This book could very easily be a TV show.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how it's kind of...
And the first six issues, you know, kind of setting the stage of what she's doing and all that fun stuff. Second six issues, I find it hilarious that we're getting the world tour of Marvel, essentially. And it's like, hey, let's check and see what Bucky's doing. Because she ends up going to, you know, the area where Winter Soldier, where that miniseries was taking place, if I'm not mistaken. Where he was on the train.
Yeah.
She goes to Costa Rica, where fucking Punisher was with Crossbones on his boat. She goes, you know, here and there, and there's Hawkeye, and there's all this stuff, and it almost feels like, you know, special guest appearances on for TV shows, you know.
But they put her in a story with every character she's had, like, some kind of, like, involvement with.
No, I understand.
Like, she was never romantically linked to the Punisher, but they were both Marvel Knights characters.
Yeah, and I totally get that, too, but it is kind of funny that, you know, these are all...
Everyone's in different places.
Everyone's in different places.
They're not normally.
Yeah. And she goes to Daredevil, you know, in San Francisco. And,
Well, that's because everyone complained about New York.
I am thoroughly loving the Black Widow book. I think it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty well-written story. I don't think this is anything against the writing, because I'm sure he has a reason for it. But I really hate the whole idea of I'm an independent, you know, I don't need help, and then she needs help.
Yeah, she's always helping out with people.
And she's always helping out with people. But I guess that's kind of one of those little clever twists. I did not like the last issue.
Oh, the Anderson Cooper thing?
The one where Isaiah gets shot in the head, it looks like, and the cat has blood on its paws that ran out the house. I don't want Isaiah to be dead. Or Isaac?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. I liked him as a character. He was a fun character.
That's why he has to die, Michael.
Well, no! Not all good characters have to die.
If not as a lead character, they do.
Could have died later. I mean, you know he was a mafia hitman at one point in time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if he might have been like a Russian mafia hitman or something.
Yeah, well, you know he was a mafia hitman because he flashes back to that when he's getting tortured.
Yeah, he has like a gun, or he has a smoking gun in his hand when like Black Widow pops in like the top of like the panel, I think. Mm-hmm. It did sort of make that issue where she was in the casino rescuing him pointless.
Yeah,
completely.
Which that one was okay, though. Apparently, Phil Noto cannot draw X-23 to look like a young person.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't know
how
it was her.
She's supposed to be
X-23 is like 17 or 18. She's a kid.
I thought she was like mid-20s.
Who fucking knows at this point? Like,
she could be 107 years old. We don't know.
That's true.
Actually, I think she's like 8, but she's also a clone, so rules sort of don't apply in that respect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, she is supposed to be of a comparable age to the all-new X-Men book because she's making out with Warren. And they were meant to be 16, I think, when they started out, and I think they're 18 now in that book.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm assuming she's like 18 or 19 or 20 or something. Not 35, which is kind of what she looked like. Maybe it was the outfit. I don't know. Also, I have no idea what association those characters really have with one another other than that Wolverine died and said for her to keep an eye, Black Widow to keep an eye on X-23. Or X-23, or however you're supposed to say it.
I think it's X-23.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought, but then apparently at some point people were like, no, it's supposed to be X-23, and I'm like, no, it's not, that's stupid.
Because I think in every... Because she showed up in X-Men Evolution, she was X-23. She showed up in, I think, that Ultimate one of the Spider-Man shows, and I think it was Ultimate Spider-Man. She was X-23. So, fuck them.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I don't know. You can't watch Evolution on Netflix anymore. They pulled it down.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. I'm irritated. I used to watch that while it was running.
Yeah, that was a great show.
But,
anyway.
It was an awesome show.
Black Widow, I you know, I think it's a fine book. It's easy to recommend because it's way accessible. At the same time, like,
it's okay.
Not a lot of stuff seems to happen sometimes.
It's just
that Anderson Cooper issue really was fucking weird.
It's bizarre.
It is weird.
Like, because I'm like, why did they get Anderson Cooper?
It was so bizarre that he showed up.
Well, and okay, here's the thing. I was telling Jason this. You know, like, this does feel like a TV show, and it seems like we're heading into the mid-season finale.
Yeah,
because
I can see that.
You get the idea that or the guy that she rescued back in blah de blah that kidnapped Isaiah and fell out the helicopter.
Yeah, the dude who you knew who it was by where Hawkeye grazed his eyeball.
Yes, and
that scar on
he
his
says,
face.
"Well, they never told me this was how it was going to end," and she's going over that in her head. You know, on the train ride back with X-23 and all that fun stuff, and so obviously they're building up to this massively huge big bad.
I think it's going to probably end up being a computer or something like that.
Supercomputer.
Possibly with precognition, but I'm also wondering if it's not going to have anything to do with the Red Room.
I suspect it's probably going to have something to do with her origin, yeah.
Because apparently, you know, we're going to see bits of her origin in Avengers 2.
I think this book is okay. I don't know if it's a recommendation overall for me to someone, because it seems like every issue just ends with her calling someone or someone making a call and you ends on some weird statement where they're like, and today is the day and you should look outside your window and you'll see that the sky is still blue and these people are still dead. Some bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cell phone
shit.
Seems
to end on these weird downer notes.
Yeah, and I'm like,
where nothing feels like it's being accomplished.
Yeah, it feels like you just read a book where someone decided to kind of make it and not put too much thought into it. And that's my experience with the book, is I don't put too much thought into it and I don't experience much with it.
And you can read these pretty quick.
Yeah, it's super
kidding.
Quick. Like, there's almost no dialogue.
Like, the greatest amount of time I spent considering anything in it, really, because, I mean, I'm not super wrapped up in the Who is Chaos thing. At this point, I'm just like, all right, like, show us what the fucking deal is, please. Was, like, thinking, so wait, this issue with her and Hawkeye and, like, I don't know, Turan or whatever, it says a few years ago, and yet Hawkeye is wearing his stupid fucking modern outfit that's generic as fuck. I was like, okay, I guess that can be a few years ago because, I don't know, Secret Wars, why not?
I mean, I like Phil Noto. I just don't think that he draws anything that looks – it doesn't look like anyone's moving. It just looks like everyone stood still to take a picture really quick.
I mean, in some ways I can see that. I will say that, like, him drawing, like, the modern Avengers outfits looks terrible. Because those,
it really does.
I mean, no, like, that's not his fault because those costumes
are,
for the most part,
stupid, but
terrible.
But he just can't, I don't know.
It's like when Alex Ross has to, like, you know, do really modern costumes, it just looks very weird and fake and odd. And
yes.
Draws attention to itself because you're used to seeing these impossible things in a photorealistic style. So when you see something that's not meant to be impossible or whatever, because it could be real world, that's why the Cap doesn't have, like, wings on his helmet anymore. Like, when you see that done in a photorealistic style, it stands out even more that those look super fake. Like, your brain rejects it.
Yeah. Yes. So
it's very strange.
There's not a lot of setup and payoff. It just seems like there's a lot of payoff and zero setup in these books. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's using, like, big chunks of her old story from the 70s. Otherwise, you know,
sure.
Like, the hemostatic man or whatever he is, like, the guy who was, like, dying in the jar, like, he wouldn't have shown up. I can't even remember who he is, because he showed up in issues of Champions I've read. Like, that's how, like, kind of not important he is.
It's certainly not a bad book. It's just there.
Yeah.
It exists.
It doesn't frustrate me the way Avengers does.
Yes, yeah. And because things do happen in Avengers, and the frustration comes from so much time never happening, and then when things do happen, you are excited about it and you want more of that. And Black Widow just kind of, nothing ever really happens, so you don't miss too much. To me, at least. There's just things happen.
I mean, there's neat stuff in it. Like, I like
the
bloody
just,
paw prints.
Like
of
I said, things happen. It's just none of them really matter to me.
But it does feel super detached from anything that's
going
on.
I don't know.
And, I mean, I don't know, like, You could probably summarize most of what's happened in the book in about a page.
You know, is the most hilarious thing ever is Maria Hill's talking to the Avengers and like discussing like what are we going to do about Black Widow now that everyone knows about her, and there's Hawkeye, and I think there's Captain America. No. I guess it's Tony.
Spider-Man too.
And I was just going to say, and Spider-Man. Like what? Shield's getting Spider-Man's advice on Black Widow. What? What the fuck?
Were people not supposed to know about her because she's like, standing in like the middle of a city fighting aliens, or whatever?
She's a spider.
Why would Maria Hill call Spider-Man?
Because she's a spider.
Well, because he was in the room with Tony. And,
yeah, but why can't they be on one screen? Why are they on four separate screens? Is what I'm saying. Like, it seems really stupid.
Because FaceTime, man, you got to use it to the maximum ability.
Boy, that's wacky and dumb.
I mean, the Anderson Cooper issue was really strange.
So bizarre.
Like, because it seemed like they were trying to make a point about, like, well, she does shady things or something, and it's like, yeah, we've been over this. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we've been 12
and that, yeah, Maria, that Maria Hill's point was like, yes, we know, that's why it's a problem.
Like, I don't really know what the Anderson Cooper scenes added. They had that weird senator character who, like, the lady senator, I was like, is she, like, a character that matters somewhere? Because I don't know why this wasn't just, like...
I don't know who she is. Does anyone know who she is?
I think she's a new character. Honestly, this would have been a good time to use Henry Peter Gyrich.
Well... That's what you say every time they use any kind of government official ever.
It could have been Valerie Cooper as well.
No, but you always are like, you could have used Valerie Cooper on Anderson Cooper. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they could have.
I just find it funny.
Well, because Gyrich always needs to be in more books.
Like I'm saying,
a great character.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like you always bring him
no,
up. It's very
I think
funny. your go-to
my
guy.
Guess is that Senator Lady is a pawn of chaos.
I'm assuming so as well.
You should just write.
Maybe your, Anderson Cooper is.
Your Marvel story is Harry Peter Gyrich. That is the book you write.
No, the name of the book will be Gyrich. Yeah. And the first cover will just be like the anime glare on his red glasses.
Special thanks to Jim Shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
Now get off my lawn.
But yeah, I mean, this is a much more accessible book, so I can appreciate it for that standpoint as opposed to, like, Avengers, which is, like, it's like you need a fucking Rosetta Stone to understand this thing.
It's true.
Now, whenever they collected the first Black Widow trade, was it the first six books?
I assume so.
Okay, I was just curious how they broke it up.
It's either the first five or the first six.
It wouldn't make sense.
We're split on this one, then.
I like it.
You like it, right, Chris? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm okay on it.
I know you enjoy it well enough, but it's not like a priority.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. I don't rush out.
You know, like...
Like, I can't wait to read Black Widow. It's like, well, I will read Black Widow. Not a bad way, just...
I'm sure it probably does read a lot better when you're reading it in a row, because, like, one, they are so short...
It does. It read really well, like, whenever I was reading.
Because I caught up completely just by reading those, like, three issues that we haven't covered or whatever, and I was like, well, that was a nice, like, 22 minutes.
Yeah, I was just, like, even that, like, 10 minutes.
Like, I don't know. That Anderson Cooper issue was so strange.
Really, it really was.
It's very surreal, and I just don't get it. Like, is he a big fan or something?
Yeah, is that the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they use Wolf Blitzer?
Well, then nobody would believe it.
I wouldn't believe it.
I don't get it.
But anyway.
CNN's gotten in a lot of trouble here recently, jumping the gun on news stories and then having to retract themselves. And so Wolf Blitzer has been 90% of the retraction stuff.
Yeah. Weird.
So what will we want to hit next?
This is the Situation Room.
All right.
Let's do Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, let's close out with Great Lakes Avengers.
So GLA, GLX, and GLI.
Yes. You enjoyed this, huh, Chris?
Yeah.
But not the Gay Lesbian Alliance.
It's a great joke.
Yeah, that was
especially
fantastic.
With Lightning Lad.
Yeah.
So I have to say that I laughed out loud. The one time really made me laugh out loud. When I forgot the guy's name, but he said Zutador, and I just immediately
Batroc,
thought of
Batroc
Michael.
The Leaper.
That's Batroc.
Yeah, Batroc.
I know. I didn't know that. That's what it played into for what you were saying the whole time, Michael. I thought you were just saying some dumb French saying, but now it all makes sense.
Zutador. It's that's how they go. Well, fuck. But it's Zutalok. Yeah,
that's George St. Pierre's character in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Pretty funny.
After that beating he took from Cap, apparently he goes crazy, and then that's when he puts on the goofy, bat face.
Yeah, the goofy mask. Every time I reread this, there's always something new I notice that makes me laugh. Like, this time it was like when they're standing in front of, the bad guy, the deviant bad guy, Maelstrom.
Maelstrom, yes.
Maelstrom's evil device of destruction. Batroc's mustache is being pulled ahead of him because it's so fucking long.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it's waving, like he's got really... It was like, what the hell is that flying by? Oh, that's his mustache!
Yep, that was great. for a funny book, it's a dark as fuck book.
Yeah,
this is the Great Lakes Avengers from 2005, written by Dan Slott, art by Paul Pelletier or whatever. It is the meanest thing Dan Slott has ever written.
Yeah.
Like, it's a joke that plays people shooting themselves in the head it's a book that plays that for laughs.
Bulimia.
It plays really gross. Like, the title of the first issue is spelled out in Mr. Immortal's, spilled blood from shooting himself in the head.
And brain matter, yeah. Well, and then the third book's title is...
Is Vomit, yeah.
Vomit.
In the toilet.
Man, okay. I forgot how much I loved the running gag of the grasshopper.
Oh, where he keeps dying? Yes.
Every time
joke.
He gets on the suit, they die. And it's great.
I can't tell Cindy that I'm her brother.
But what's even better is the grasshopper suit's actually a good looking suit. I mean, for it to be a gag character, that's kind of a cool looking costume. And it's great that it's rocks on oil because I guess they don't really deal with it in the book, but you know, rocks on oil are shady as fuck motherfuckers, and they've got their own corporate superhero that keeps dying.
He's like a parody of Centurion, I guess.
Yeah, but
I loved the. Does anybody want to join the Great Lakes Avengers? No.
And. The funny thing about that first or those two pages or whatever where they show like Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Daredevil is they're all saying I'm a loner, and the irony is that all of them had just joined the new Avengers.
Yep, exactly. All three of them, Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Wolverine, were on the new Avengers. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Like, this has dropped off some in the post-Superior Spider-Man era, but like Dan Slott likes to make fun of other stuff he doesn't like in books a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are a ton of Identity Crisis jokes in this.
Well, and then the talking head, like the two pages with like nothing but, I think it was 12 panels of people saying no.
Yeah, no.
Great Christmas, no.
Because I think... Bendis, he hated when Bendis did that, because Bendis did that in Powers, and Bendis did that in...
Powers Annual, oh my god.
Yeah. Oh god. But, I love...
I'm amazed they don't hate each other.
I love Monkey Joe. I love the Monkey Joe says things in the corner.
The Ghost of Monkey Joe.
The Ghost of Monkey Joe is the best, though.
And it's like written in there with a marker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and what is it? They like lift up the little like, the little like, I don't know if it's like a handkerchief or something over his body. Like, this was Monkey Joe. Huh. I don't know why that's so funny.
There's some stuff in the book that just makes me laugh, like where Death Urge is a squirrel. Like, just the Death Urge looking like a squirrel, where he shows up and gives out all the exposition and tells Mr. Immortal the entire point of his whole life up to this point. Like, it's. Like, my favorite panel in the whole thing are, like, Flatman and Doorman whispering to one another, like, what the hell is he doing while he's punching this invisible thing that's just squeaking? Like,
well, and then
incredible fucking
joke. And then the best part is, in the GLI Christmas special, Death Urge is still a squirrel.
Yeah.
And he sets up that massive Rube Goldberg device to try and kill Tippy Toe, and instead Mr. Immortal triggers all the traps, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's such a, you know, and I'm telling you, if anybody could write a non-annoying Deadpool, it's Dan Slott.
They like
yeah,
said in the
I
past.
Did not.
It's the one Deadpool comic I own.
I own three.
Yeah. Once you own those Agent X ones.
Yeah.
The Gail Simone ones or whatever. Yeah. But so, yeah, this is a four-issue miniseries. It's a decade old this year. Yep. Oh, my God. And two specials, the GLA Misassembled. And
no, GLX Misassembled.
Well, it's GLXmas, and then the Deadpool GLA Summer Spectacular.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. And then GLA.
Because they realize they're all mutants in the last page of the first
book. And, oh, God.
Like, the plot doesn't necessarily matter as much as just, like, insane, hilarious gags.
And the fact that Dan Slott makes Squirrel Girl.
Well, he made her who she is.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, he also, Monkey Joe reminds us that Steve Ditko made... Squirrel Girl beat Doom.
Yeah, and a story pinned by Steve Ditko, so deal with it, fanboys.
Right. And it's then, continuity. Of course, he has her beat Thanos and
MODOK. MODOK.
Like, it's like Dum Dum Dugan just calls Squirrel Girl whenever they have a massive threat coming towards them, and it's great. It is fantastic.
This doesn't have the thing where she's, like, standing on top of, like, Galactus and Thanos and who all these other characters, a big pile. I don't remember what story that is, but it's somewhere else. But, yes, like, the summer special and the Christmas special were never collected in anything. You can pick this up as a trade. You can probably pick it up very cheap because nobody cared about this book when it was being published. Honestly, like, people still don't kind of care about it, it seems like. But, yes... Jace, you've been very quiet. Why are you so quiet? Did you not like it?
I read this book about 8 years ago, and I don't get it then.
You don't get it then, and you don't get it now.
Sorry, guys.
Boo. Shun Jason, the unbeliever.
Jason can't have any joy in his life.
I just don't think it's funny. I don't like...
You don't think him punching death thirds as a squirrel is funny?
No.
I love that.
I don't think the Monkey Joe stuff is funny. It actually annoys me. All that stuff annoys me a lot. I just don't want to... I know you guys like the book, so I don't want to say anything shitty about it.
Yeah. I mean, I love the book. This is really seriously like one of my favorite things that Dan Slott's ever written. And I say that as like a big fan who's been a fan for a long time.
I like the She-Hulk book. And I was thinking like that She-Hulk book of his really might be the only thing I really love of Dan Slott's.
You don't like Superior Spider-Man?
I like it. And I don't love it. I think we talked about it.
I like a lot. I love the Thing we were reading miniseries it. Too.
Yeah, I love the Thing as well.
I thought the Thing miniseries was good, but I didn't love it.
Oh man, I think it's super great.
I do too.
I do love the completely like... Like, Dan Slott is secretly, like, a giant Moon Knight fan, so I love that he just wrote a page where talk. It's like a huge splash page of, like, Moon Knight that I'm sure he has the original art of.
I would like...
It's like, you look like the Midnight Man. And he's like, no, I'm Doorman.
And then Monkey Joe says, characters in Urban Legend doesn't work past the first year.
Yeah, first year of continuity. Because that was, like, making fun of the ending of War Games.
Right.
Where it was out... Batman was outed as a real thing in Gotham City, even though, like, he's had adventures with the fucking JLA.
Yes. Yeah. He's still an urban myth.
Yeah, he's an urban myth. No one knows about him, even though Capitol steps.
But they were pretty... Well, they actually weren't. They were pretty quiet about... They were pretty good about keeping him out of the spotlight in any Justice League story. So... I mean, I don't know. It does seem pretty goofy in reality, but I mean, they tried their best to make it that way. I mean, I don't know. It does seem super fucking stupid. When you look at it, you're like, no one knows who the fuck Batman is, but I mean, that was their continuity at the time.
And I don't know, like, but one thing I really liked about this is even with all of the gross out humor and all that stuff, there's still, like, there's some genuinely touching moments, like the fact that
you feel bad for Mr. Immortal.
Yeah, well,
you really like, do. Like,
Dinosaur can only talk to one mortal her entire life.
Yes.
And bonds with him because he'll never die. And then Maelstrom, like.
Yeah, zaps her with lightning.
Yeah.
I did.
First issue.
I'll tell you one thing I did like is in the summer special where Deadpool was hanging out with Bertha. On that weird secret mission, and then she's like, "You're a chubby chaser."
Yeah,
that's just as bad as liking me if I was hot. And he said, well, it's good. I've been waiting for someone to say that. He takes his mask off, and he looks like fucking Jason Voorhees. Yes. She throws up. Yeah.
Dukes.
Yeah. I thought that was very funny. I liked that story. I hadn't read that before. That was good.
Well, and I love that, again, Squirrel Girl's the only one that can kick Deadpool out of.
Yeah. Mr. Immortal calls her back to the present to kick Deadpool out of their super secret special headquarters.
That was another part. Squirrel Girl kind of like having a big crush on Robbie and then going to visit him as Penance.
And then, I just hated it because it had to remind him of Penance.
See, I love that because it takes a giant shit on Penance. Yeah. And the dumbest
That's
stuff
true,
in Secret War.
Because of the cat thing where his cat was.
Yeah, Petent, the penitent push.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, they have that part earlier where, like, Mr. Immortal is, like, narrating something. They're like, why are you doing that? He's like, I have to be edgy. Doesn't this sound edgy? Right before they go into, like, the AIM complex or something.
And I like where they go to the scientists to talk about the, you know, the stuff that Maelstrom took. And that guy was like, can I believe that Reed Richards came to ask me something? You know, like, and he's like,
no, this flat man, dude.
Flat man. Like, and then just is crying. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you a doctor of anyway, Val? He's like,
everything.
Stuff.
Stuff, yeah. And I love the part where he comes out as gay and everybody's proud of him, and then that's when Mr. Immortal finds out that he'll never die. I'm homo supreme!
That's my favorite gag in the entire
And then Val goes, why do you always one-up me?
Always have to one-up me.
It is. It's great. I really do. I enjoy that. I enjoy the hell out of the GLAIX.
Yeah, like, I really wish there had been more of this. I wish that people cared. At the same time, like, this is partially why I didn't enjoy Squirrel Girl so much, because it, like, I don't know, like, you can see this in this. She doesn't like Deadpool. Why would she have his trading card?
Yeah, but she also had those Marvel Versus cards.
Which is a better gag anyway. Well,
that is true, but they don't exist anymore, so.
Yeah, they can make something up.
Yeah.
The Marvel Versus.
But I also, see.
You have a defense rating of 6, dum-dum.
No, his was 8, hers was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but yes, this is a relentless gag book where they play, like, it probably in some ways should have had, like, a parental warning on the cover. It's not bad enough to be a Max book or whatever, but it's still a pretty crazy book for, like, I don't know, like a middle schooler to read, because, like, Mr. Immortal's life is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that one scene where he's wearing dinosaur's unitard with the scissors through his chest, and yeah.
This is my girlfriend's shirt. There's a lot to really enjoy in this book. It's totally wacky and goofy, and actually deals with, like, the Eternals and the Deviants in, like, this very weird, vague way where, like, you don't have to understand it, but at the same time, it's very funny that those characters would show up in this book.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because, like, the whole joke is that they don't matter and that they suck, and I like that they suck because that's the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Fun books. 5 stars.
Fun books.
Hey, wait, you like Spider-Man Human Torch?
Oh, that's right. I did like Human... You're right. Spider-Man Human Torch.
Oh, Spider-Man
I like
Human Torch is fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably my favorite thing of his.
So there you go.
You're right. Those two things.
I mean, I won't lie. I enjoy Dan Slott's earlier stuff than I enjoy his current stuff. And honestly, I think it's kind of why I haven't been so into Silver Surfer is because it's kind of edgeless.
No, what you don't
it's
like about Silver Surfer is that it's fucking not good. It sucks. So that is why you do not like it.
That is the case.
No,
it's too bright and shiny and happy. And I guess, I don't know, I like that goofy, let's make jokes about, like, stupid shit from the 70s and stuff from now, because people are like, well, that shit from the 70s is dumb, and I hate it because it's not now. Like, you have to take Batman super seriously or whatever, and it's like, no, you don't.
Oh, I like jokes about that. I don't know. I don't think that the tone of humor doesn't hit right for me in GLA. It's like, it's a goofy book that is dark, when I usually like dark things that are goofy. Okay. That makes sense. It's in the wrong order for me, and I just like don't find it funny because I don't think the dark things are all that dark, and I don't think the goofy things are all that goofy. It just kind of exist. I mean, I don't know. And I like stupid shit, but you know, I don't know. It just does this. The book doesn't work for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, look forward to our massive nice. Star Wars episode coming up soon, because boy. That number one.
Woo!
There's a lot to say.
Really?
There's a lot to say about this book.
David said that he thought it was fine except for like a few awkward callback lines, and I was like, oh, so they just said Nerf Herder and did like a thing like the Empire Strikes Back, I love you thing, huh?
I actually think the callback lines they had were clever.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure they do. Listen, I have a bad feeling about this. No,
yes, they do.
They sort of, yes. Let me tell you something. I enjoyed the hell out of this book. Don't get me wrong. I was surprised that I did, but I did. Because it fits this weird niche that shouldn't have any interesting stories in it whatsoever. And you're like, oh, I guess they could have been doing that.
What, the space between A New Hope and Empire Strikes
Back?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's interesting stuff there. That's where the whole Star Wars news strip took place, and I loved that as a kid.
Fucking A, man.
Like, boy, yes. I was addicted to that shit.
I never, don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, boys, I just got a notification on Twitter from Comixology. Captain Marvel Volume 1 by that Kelly Sue girl is on sale for $3.99.
Oh, my gosh. It's been like that for like a month.
Woo!
Actually, like 2 months.
Yeah, right.
Woo! Get it while it's hot.
And steamy pile of crap.
That was another. Oh, that's right. Y'all took a shit on Captain Marvel while I was off, too. That's right. Yeah.
It sucks.
I was not a fan, Michael.
Okay.
But this Star Wars book has some interesting things I have to talk about.
Well, we'll see.
And I have when things to say.
It's all going.
Man. I have things to say. You like John Cassaday's art?
I do. You don't, do you?
I didn't say a word about it. I'm not going to either.
Man.
I'm still waiting to see the thing with him. Like, where I mean, like, no joke. Like, people said, like, he's the most revolutionary artist that's going to determine the way comics look for the next 50 years.
Who is this?
The guy who drew Star Wars. Like, I mean, like, when he first came out, people were like, he is going to change the world of graphic art forever. And I've never, as little as I've seen, I've not seen anything that's quite lived up to that enormous amount of hype. That's not necessarily his fault.
Now, I will say,
it's not his fault at all. It's everyone else is like, Planetary is the greatest.
I mean, guys like J.H. Williams III, like, you don't even have, like, Promethea to really catch on to that.
Please, that shit is the fucking top-level shit.
Like, whatever you think about that book, it looks fucking gorgeous.
Jesus Christ.
Well, his Batwoman shit.
Oh, yeah, my God, are you kidding?
Gorgeous he's as well. I have friends who bought that book just for the art.
Yeah, man. It's incredible. Like, I mean, that woman ruled.
James Williams, I mean, he has a command of the page, not just panels, but how to...
Yeah, how to draw your eye.
Draw your eye on an on a full splash page. He can tell a story, and it's fucking gorgeous.
But we shall cover those things later.
Yes,
when there's more of them out. So sadly, we must leave you guys. But in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do. Such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch. At Clinch Band? And clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch. And also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find them on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd. And you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, Agra, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!